Wellness begins where play, pleasure, and the parasympathetic meet. You were born to be you, and you were born to be well. Your body is always trying to find its way back to health. Now, here's the host of Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith.
Good morning, my friends, or perhaps you're listening to this in the afternoon or the evening, even though we record in the morning. We are on Your Healing Playground. Yes, that is my podcast. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, your witchy doctor, change advocate. We are on the Inspired Choices Network, and today I have with me Stephanie Ward. Stephanie hails from the other side of the world. She lives in Britain, and she is here in LA with us today. We are so excited to have you on this podcast. Today, we're going to talk about a little bit about disabilities and just even the word disability, because is a disability truly a disability, a different ability, or a super ability? Does it make us more capable or less capable? And who makes those definitions? Who decides what's normal, what's able, what's limited? Who really makes these distinctions? We all have different brains. We all have different neuro wiring. We all have different bodies. Who decides the way we are supposed to be, right? That's conformity in a box. But we have 7 billion people on this planet. We can't all have the same wirings and the same ways to see the world, to do the world, to be in the world. So who makes those decisions and how do they affect how we perceive ourselves and go about life? Because it's our life. It's not everybody else's. So Stephanie, let's explore this. Let's go down the rabbit hole of you. Tell us, tell my listeners just who you are, and your story, you know, in a nutshell of how you even say you have different abilities, right? Tell us a little bit about when you discovered you had different abilities and how it has affected your life.
Yeah, so my story is quite an unusual one because I have several different ways that society says that I'm disabled. And I use air quotes because there's things that disability does that hinders us and things it does that helps us, right? So from the age of 15, I had pain in my lower back and I had a doctor who wasn't very understanding. The long and short of that was he basically said to me, it's just growing pains, suck it up, buttercup. So I went through the next 10 years of my life gradually moving on to crutches and into a wheelchair because of this lower back pain, which spread into my hips. When I was pregnant with my son, I was in a lot of pain every day. I had like a tubular bandage from just below my bra line to halfway down my thighs to support my bump because the pain I was in. It wasn't until after my son was born that the pain didn't go away. And I saw a female doctor and she was like, I'm not liking this. And it turns out I had hip dysplasia, which is a birth defect, which was missed at birth because I have a really unusual type called acetabular antiversion, which means the backs of the sockets were uncovered. So an x-ray wouldn't show that. So there's a whole bit of process around that in terms of getting my body rebuilt. I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia. And for anyone who doesn't know what that is, it's basically chronic pain, chronic fatigue. The symptoms are like brain fog. But once hip dysplasia was healed and fixed, the brain fog didn't go away. And so I'd gone back to work at this point as a virtual assistant because my gynecologist said it was a good idea. And I was like, okay, like, of course it was my gynecologist. These things are never linear. And it was about 2 years in, I had a client who was a diagnostic practitioner in the UK diagnosing ADHD and autism. And she said to me, when were you diagnosed? And I was like, with what, the hip thing? She went, no, ADHD. And I went, I ain't got that. She went, oh, honey. Oh, I was like, oh, dear. So I discovered consequentially I have ADHD and I'm autistic. For a long time, I thought my ex-husband was the reason my son had those things. No, I did this. So I have three different diagnoses that society would say are disabilities that hold me back, that make me unable to contribute meaningfully to society. And I think on the limited information you know about me, that isn't true. I do a pretty good job. Mm-hmm. But it's very interesting how these labels can be seen as such a block to living your life, right?
So I just, Stephanie and I met last week at an event for, it was called Top Talent Hollywood, and it was people speaking and learning to speak and people just trying to make an impact in the world. And Stephanie quickly stepped up to today's plate, and I had another guest scheduled who needs surgery and she can't make it. And so I don't know this whole story about Stephanie, and I just want to laugh. Because it's so meant to be, the synchronicities. Okay, you just said your gynecologist made the diagnosis. I'm a gynecologist, right? And I have made crazy diagnoses for patients as well as even on dates. Like I went on a one date with a guy and he's ordering food and I was like, "Dude, you have irritable like you have a bowel problem. You need." And he texted he we didn't go on any other date, but he texted me later, "Thank you for solving my bowel problem." And my son has hip dysplasia and 10 years of chronic pain, 7 to 10 years of, after labral tear and hip dysplasia, bilateral carving, shaving of his hips. And he's just coming out of this deep, dark place that happened right after college. So just hearing you, and I still wonder if I have ADHD because I'm scattered, but I just think I'm a shapeshifter and need to do everything. So I just laugh at your story and the fact that you're here on this podcast. And I do need to ask, did you end up having hip surgery where they reshape your hips, right? They shave those bones and stuff.
Yeah, I've had three different operations so far. So the first one was to explore my left side. The left side was definitely the more disabled limb. So they went in 2017 and they did what's called chondroplasty, which is repairing of the cartilage. They repaired a labral tear because my labrum had split, and they also shaved off some of the bone as well. They did quite an extensive amount of work in there. The only thing they could have done and didn't was putting bolts into the cartilage. They did everything else. That surgery for my surgeon was quite a diagnostic procedure for me because what we realized was that when they did that, the things didn't get better straight away. Like if that was all I needed, that would have been fine. So I've now had bilateral periacetabular osteotomy surgery, which involves cutting each of the sockets away from my pelvis and moving them into a better orientation. So I had the first one in 2018, and I can honestly say that was the worst thing I've ever been through in my entire life. It was extensive. I was given completely inadequate pain relief. I was discharged from hospital in excruciating pain. And the guy I was with at the time, this is the funniest thing ever. So I couldn't get to the bathroom on my own, right? So I got halfway and I felt so like nauseous, waves of heat. So I sat on a chair and I just sobbed and I sobbed and I sobbed. But I needed to pee. So I got back up, got to the bathroom, and I was crying so hard, I farted, right? And it was just so embarrassing. It was completely like dehumanizing, but I was laugh crying on the toilet. It was just the ultimate low in the whole thing. It took me a further 12 months to recover. Most people are back to work in 3 to 6. At 6 months, I was sitting in front of my surgeon just saying, "I'm not getting better." But there was one guy, and I'm going to name him, he's called David Hopper. David is a specialist physiotherapist back at home. And I'd seen him before for something else. I was like, this is the man I need to see because Dave is going to help me with this. And he's the reason that I learned to walk again after that operation. But what I realized was between the surgeries, when I had the right leg done, I had a lot to heal up here because my mindset was a huge, huge contributing factor to why I wasn't recovering. So I got a coach. I did a lot of work on disability mindset and this audacious, like, I can be this and also this, even if the two things clash. So when I had this surgery, and it was August 2020, I was one of the first people in the UK to have surgery that was non-emergent following the pandemic restrictions being lifted. And 11 weeks later, I was orchestrating and delivering meals to hungry children during the school holidays. 11 weeks later, no
Wow.
crutches, no painkillers, driving
So
a
tell me
car.
what happened with your mindset. I want to hear about the mindset and the switching and also this physiotherapist and what he did for you.
So what I'll start with Dave because what Dave did was he, before I even knew I was neurodivergent, I knew I needed things to be a specific way for them to really embed for me. And so Dave didn't give me like repeated exercises. He didn't give me these like annoying tasks to do. He gave me real life goals. So he would say to me, drive your kid to school in the morning and walk the 3 minutes back. And in the afternoon, walk the 3 minutes back and drive home. So it was giving me something to just push myself and push. So it was very real life, tangible, practical, something that I had to do, something that gave me like something I can hold in my hands and see progress with, you know? Because
Beautiful.
then when I can do that one way, I can do it back the next day. Do you know what I mean? But it just broke it down in a way that made it work for my brain, which I've learned is to do with my neurotype. So what I then went on to do, my coach Anna Knight, I do hope Anna is listening because she is one of the most precious people in my world. She's the girl I could call if I killed someone. She would turn up with a tarp and shovel and wouldn't ask questions and would probably bring snacks as well. But Anna introduced me to the idea of different levels of consciousness as well as like victim mindset. And what I didn't realize was I was seeing the disability I have as something that was being done to me. And until I could see it as anything else, I couldn't move forward. So we did a lot of work around like, you know, it's not done to me, it's something that happened. It is something that happened to me, but I have the power to move away from that. I have the power to do great things because this isn't broken. It's a little bit bent up, but it's not broken. It was my body that was broken. And so I did about 6 months of work with Anna. I didn't realize I was actually her first ever coaching client. And like, she's that good. She is that good. But what we did was just move through this whole, like, I am stuck here to I can be great things. I can be disabled. I can also have a business that turns over 7 figures a year. And like, I'll never forget the first conversation we had around my business when I first thought about doing this. She said, what's your income goals? What would you like to do? And I said, oh, I would love to make 10,000 a year. Right? I make that a week now. And like that shift blew my mind because it's like we started small. We did things that made my brain just do something a little bit different, a little bit out of the comfort zone, pushing myself. Like it's like when you're building a muscle, right? You don't work to 80% out of comfort. You push to 110 because if you don't push that muscle, tear it down, break it, you can't rebuild it. And our brains and our mindset is exactly the same. If we don't push that little bit beyond comfort, we can't begin to build that muscle that is the beautiful brains we have inside of us. So it was just pushing myself in uncomfortable territory and knowing that I would be okay by doing it and that I was held and safe.
So I like to use the metaphor of the caterpillar that was stuck on the ground. Like, is this really my life? Is this it? I have to just inch along and live on the ground groveling. And then it ends up in this cocoon feeling like it's stuck in a box, pissed off because now it's enslaved in this box and it just starts flapping its wings. And no one else, like if you help a caterpillar get out of its chrysalis, it won't fly. Like it has to grow the strength, and it doesn't even know it's turning into a butterfly, as far as we know. Like, okay, I'm not really in a caterpillar's brain, but it doesn't know it's doing this met what's on the other side, right? It just knows it's fighting for its life, and it just keeps going. And so I love the mindset work that helped you fight for your life back, and simultaneously, I've seen experiments, right, that sound changes literally the energy of sound and the way the sound vibrates changes how matter lines up and the designs of sand in a box. We don't realize the power of our thoughts. They're sound. And so the I'm possible instead of impossible sounds different,
And this
right?
is it, like everything is possible. If you can imagine something is possible, it absolutely is. I think we are our biggest barriers to a lot of things because if our brain isn't in the right place, we can't take action on anything. Like if our mindset is not where it needs to be, we are going to get in our own ways. And this is something that I'm so passionate about, especially with my neurodivergent audience, is that they've been told that they can't do things. And so they don't think they can. Because it's like when you tell a fish, like, You're rubbish at climbing a tree. Of course, a fish can't climb a tree. It doesn't have limbs. So why are you trying to get the fish to climb the tree?
Right.
And I think there's so much work to be done with so many people because society traumatizes us and puts us into these boxes that it thinks are right for us. And I just can't, I can't live in a world knowing there's people that have to live like that. That's part of my mission is just you can do anything. I've learned to walk three times.
Right.
Anything is possible.
I love that. I love that. And it's funny because I remember, so I'll little teeny story, but I wanted to run a, when I was 20, I said I was going to run a half marathon. And then all of a sudden I'm in my mid 40s and I'm like, where'd my life go? I still didn't run it. So I signed up to do a marathon. And 3 weeks before the marathon, my knee hurt and I found out I had a stress fracture in my hip and I couldn't run the marathon. And so I was like, okay. So then a year later, I had raised my, I did it through a charity, you know. I'm like, what else can I do? So I ended up using the money for a triathlon. There's another whole story, but probably a year later, I retrained and I ran a marathon, right? And on the morning I'm going to the marathon, I'm literally in the car with six people that I only knew the driver, like he's just doing a carpool for all of us to go to the marathon. And the guy in the front seat is an orthopedic surgeon. And my friend who's driving says, how's your hip? Are you ready for the marathon? And I told him, you know, that it broke. Oh, I would never let you run a marathon. I'm like, well, good thing you're not my doctor. And I did it with flying colors. And my hip was stronger. And it was, I said I was going to do it. And I did it. And so on that note, you can do everything. It is time for us to take our first little break. So you are listening to Your Healing Playground. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. I am Dr. Tina Coopersmith. My guest today is Stephanie Ward. And listen to our break. We will be right back.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness because you are your best healer.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Coopersmith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, my friends. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am your host, Dr. Tina Coopersmith. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. I am with Stephanie Ward today, and we are talking about her healing journey and her business and her child we're going to get to. And If you like this podcast, please do us a favor, share it with your friends, and leave us a 5-star review. Let's get this out. Let's teach people that they can be their best healer, that everyone has a healing journey of some sort, mind, body, heart, spirit, and we can actually heal. Everybody can find their way to heal, and life is meant for joy and play, and it is your playground. So, Stephanie, before we went to break, we talked about physical disability as well as that your brain thinks different and your son's brain thinks different. And I want to bring up also that you used Western medicine, modern medicine. We don't throw that out, but coaching and therapists were also instrumental, and mindset was instrumental in getting you back to your best self. So tell me a little bit about how your brain is different, as you call it, and how that is a superpower. And for your son, how you commented that he has, you know, on the spectrum, they say, right? So his brain works different too. And together, how do you navigate that? And how do you help him have a mindset of super ability instead of disability?
Yeah. So I think if I start with my son, I left his dad when he was only about 15 months old. And in the UK, they do this thing called the ages and stages questionnaire, where they like look at developmental milestones. And turns out my son actually failed his developmental questionnaire at 15 months. The problem was the practitioner that did it then went off on the sick. So she was out of work. So she was replaced with someone else. And they didn't pick up on these issues. I'm dealing with a child who cries all day, every day, very unsettled. And it wasn't until my ex-husband actually reported me to social services for no reason other than he didn't like I'd left him. And the social worker came to the house, passed no comment on the living situation, but noted that my child was lining things up. And so I went to my childminder and I said to Michelle, I was like, are you seeing strange behaviors? And she went, actually, I think your kid's autistic. And I was like, because I had no concept of neurodevelopmental disability at this point. And what I learned when my son was eventually diagnosed 5 years later, because it took a very long time for them to take me as a young mum seriously. I was 21 when I had Jack. When the doctor was explaining this to me, I was like, oh, but I do that. Maybe I'm kind of towards that end of, he's like, honey, you are on the spectrum. Whether you like it or not, you've got a lot of this. I was like, oh. So I kind of just like, I didn't get a diagnosis at this point, but I kind of just acknowledged that there was things that my son did that my brain did as well. Things where I thought differently. Things where when people say things, I take it literally. Where I don't see people are lying to me. When I can be easily manipulated, like in intimate relationships, for example. And seeing my boy and understanding what the condition meant for him made me kind of understand me better. But what was really interesting is that the way an autistic brain works and the way an ADHD brain works are very much in contradiction. So when somebody told me I had ADHD as well, I was like, how can I be both of those things? Because like, autism is very rigid thinking, very systematic, very logical. ADHD is very abstract squirrel chasing, right? And it's like, how can I be both of those things? Well, the answer is, I clearly am. It just somehow sits together. And one thing I love about how my brain works, I see it like being in a VR headset, right? So I'm in this headset and it's almost like there's all of these creative things coming towards me, right? So if you think of it like making a meal, okay, and you're going to make bolognese and you can see the tomatoes and the mince and the, and I, when I'm medicated for my ADHD, I can select the things out of the air to make the recipe. It's like that in business. So what I love about understanding how my ADHD works for me is that it's like knowing that when my brain works, I can do really great things. I can chase the dopamine. I find that really empowering to know that the way my brain can be creative, the way it can be abstracting is powerful. The problem is that if you want me to do anything other than what I want to do in that moment, I can't do it. It's like I have to chase whatever my brain is interested in the moment, right? It's so conflicting to be wanting logic and wanting systems that autism provides and wanting to chase a squirrel in the next breath. Like, that's where the disability comes in. The disability is where the two conditions clash for me, because I am both, and my brain doesn't want to be. So it's almost like being at war with myself constantly. What I've learned is that the most important thing is getting help. As soon as you know what your barriers are, get help. Ask for help. Do not be scared to say to someone, "This is what's hard for me. Can you help me?" Because that in itself, having someone see you and be like, "Okay, I see what you need. Let me step in there." That is healing all on its own, because that helps you to realize you don't have to be everything and do everything. I think we feel compelled to be a lot of the time, especially like mums, right? We're expected to parent our children like we don't work and work like we don't have kids to raise.
Oh, welcome to my
Right?
world. For years, I was
Yeah.
never good enough at anything because I was trying to be the best at both. So when I'm home with the kids, I'm still working. And then when I'm at work, I'm
Yeah.
a little bit what's going on with my kids, right? So how do you surf the surfboard to
Yeah.
do it all?
This is it. And having a neurodevelopmental condition like ADHD, like if you don't know you have it, parenting in itself can be a completely overwhelming experience. So one of the
I think
hardest
if
things for
parenting is
me,
an overwhelming experience for every human,
yeah.
and we no longer do it in community, this nuclear family where you don't have help from five aunties who have done it before you because mom and you clash, so you need everybody else, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like when I was a kid, though, my grandparents basically raised me. Regardless of whether my mum was working, I was at grandma and granddad's every Friday to Sunday. And like, I've got the best memories. My grandparents were some of the most healing influences in my life, because they allowed me to make mistakes. They allowed me to just be the mess up that I needed to be, but they gave me a safe place to land when it went wrong. And I
Yeah.
think that is so important for every child to have this. To have this like safe landing place, because we all need to screw up. And when you're neurodivergent, you're going to do it more than most. And my grandparents were always that for me.
That's beautiful. And yeah, I think, again, that extended family, grandparents ideally represent unconditional love. And as I've gone down the coaching realm of, inner critic, which develops in your brain before you're seven. So it's the
Yeah.
child, the survivor brain that is always looking, am I safe? Am I going to get killed? Am I going to get punished? And is always judging life, yourself, others, right? Because you're trying to stay within the lines and stay safe and survive. But it's a child's view of the world, right? And
Yeah.
so we flagellate mistakes because those were often not safe to make mistakes. And what I learned is, the wise self, the grandparent in us, right, that is the one who says, you made it through, girlfriend. Like, you're 90, you're fine. Like, stop worrying, right? And
Yeah.
so the grandparent can be that influence of, I don't care what you do, I'm going to love you anyway. And in our own brains, I like to say the critic, and I'm a very powerful critic that was, I joke because she hid herself as my inner best friend, always telling me to do better, try more, do better, try more, which actually meant that I wasn't good enough, right? As opposed to good enough. And so the unconditional love for yourself is allowing yourself to love yourself even when you make mistakes, even when you're flagellating yourself, even when life is going wrong, you're still allowed to have fun. You're still allowed to love yourself. You're still allowed to celebrate being sad and grieving, and because that is the human experience. So I love that you had the safety in your grandparents. And for anybody out there, I invite you to find that safe space. If it's not a grandparent, find a coach, find a loved one, find a friend that pulls you up out of the hole and tells you you're safe. And on that note, it is time for us to take our second, take a little break. So grab yourself some water, hurry back to hear more from Stephanie Ward. She's just excellent, successful with challenging life experiences. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, and we are on the Inspired Choices Network. Come right back.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness, because you are your best healer.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, your host. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. You can find me at drtinaplays.com. I will have some coaching openings coming up in the near months as I transition. And with me today is Stephanie Ward, and you can find Stephanie online at... What's your website?
You can find me. Yeah, you can find me at thespicybraincollective.com. And I'm also on Instagram at ceo.spicybraincollective. Instagram is definitely the best social to find me on because that is where all of the fun happens. That is where all of the unmasked chaos that I bring to life is there. So you can feel safe too.
I love it. Spicy Brain Collective. Tell me more. I love that name. And I want you to tell me two things. One, just about that and the spicy. And because we talked about working on both ends, spicy to me is the scattery, but maybe not. And you write on your website and stuff that you wrote about routine. And so I want to play with both sides of the spectrum. If you can share, tell us, our listeners, how'd you come up with the name Spicy Brain and what is your collective?
Yeah. So it was part of, there's this like movement on TikTok where people say it's neurospicy. So it's like, rather than saying like neurodevelopmental disability, we say neurospicy because we're just a little bit zingy, a little bit different, a little bit divergent. And I was talking to one of my mentors, a gentleman called Billy. And I said to him, like, the way I do things, I just bring that spicy brain energy along. And he went, you should trademark that. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, that just sums it up. Like, you have the spicy brain and the energy. So that's what my main company is, Spicy Brain Energy, and it's business support services. So you can come into work and do exactly what you're good at, exactly what you're loving. What we do is we do the back end of stuff that people with neurodevelopmental sort of challenges don't like. So you don't like admin, we love it. You don't like design work, we love it. Building a website, Katie will be on it like ants on a picnic on a hot day because we are excited by the stuff other people hate. But the collective was more a passion project for me. So about a year and a bit ago, I had quite a traumatic loss of a friend. It was anchored in betrayal. It was heartbreaking, if I'm honest with you. it was one of my first strong female friendships, and it turned out that she didn't care about me at any point, is what I've learned.
Aww.
And around December, I went to stay with my mentor Dan for 2 days, and I basically just lay on the rug in his apartment and cried for 2 days because I had no love for what I did anymore. I had no excitement for what I did because she stole the joy from me. And I processed a lot out with Dan, and it was very cathartic to release that. So after I left his home, I was like, Dan, I need a community. I need to bring people in and love on them because I've got no friends. She took all my friends. I've got nobody who cares, nobody who loves me. Everyone who does is a client. I need something more. So I decided I already had like an online community that was paid for. I was like, I'm going to make it free. I'm going to make it free and everyone can come. Everyone can join. Everyone can be part of it. And he was like, but money. I was like, screw it. I don't want the money. I want to connect people because I know that there will be people like me who are lonely, who are struggling, who need a network. What happened was we've grown from 40 members to 300 members in a very short period. But in January alone, once I made it free and people realized how we could actually help them, we actually made more revenue. In January alone, we got like 22,000 in extra revenue because people saw what we did and understood and wanted to hire us. But that was never the intention. The Spicy Brain Collective was only ever intended as a place to bring people together to make my soul feel full again. It was something to fill the hole that had been left behind by that betrayal. And what I love about my community is that every Monday, so at 1 a.m. local time, because I'm on Pacific right now, at 1 a.m., two of my team hosted what we call a rousing pep talk. And yes, it sounds like arousing, it's intentional because it's funny. But what we do is all the people who are at home, who are working alone, who don't have supported family and friends, they all come together and we get excited about all of our wins from the previous week. We get excited about what's coming in the future week. We love on each other like we're a big company, all of one. Like all of us are in one place just loving. But what's even more special is that because a lot of our people haven't got the success they should have because of their disabilities, they don't have a lot of money to spend a lot of the time. So what people might do is they'll come along and say, I could really use some help with this. And someone else will say, well, actually, I can do that, but I need help with this thing. And they collaborate and they genuinely connect and support each other. So I just think that's one of the most powerful consequences of this is that they all come and just love on each other. Like I'm just a facilitator who sits in the corner and loves on them. They all then go on to love on each other. And it's very potent. It's something I never planned for, but I'm not sad about it at all.
You know, it's funny how the universe gives us gifts, and it's all about, you talked about safety in your body, right? And how your grandparents gave you a safe place to land, right? And how all of us were constantly trying to connect human to human. And especially, trying to be discerning of who is the person that is there to support you, not support you, who is coming from love and who wants something from you, right? Sometimes some of us have I'm an open heart, right? I'll just love on everybody because what I've learned in doing my own work is I didn't feel love growing up. I thought it. I knew it. Like it's kind of a weird concept, but so I feel love when I give love, right? So you have to give what you don't feel to feel it. And so betrayal is you gave love and that person, you didn't have whatever it was, there was a missing link of discernment versus safety, right? And but the universe was gifting you that.
And
It was a backhanded, I say gifts come wrapped in poop. Because poop becomes fertilizer for our own growth, our own change, and like letting go of, oh, I just wasn't discerning. It wasn't the right person for me. And look what it unveiled. And you're doing that. You're doing your life's work because you got hurt instead of closing your heart And I just want to celebrate that.
Yeah, it's like there are so many reasons why my heart should be closed off. There are so many reasons I shouldn't be able to love as unconditionally as I do. But for me, it's like that Simon Squibb, he's a guy in the UK who walks up to people in the street and says, "What's your dream?" He did a talk at Atomicon a year and a half ago, one of my favorite conferences. It's a huge marketing conference. And his message was about give without take. Give without the expectation of reciprocity. And I do that every day. And the thing is like, so one of my friends today, Jason, is listening right now. Jason and I connected in one of the most strangest ways. And when I met him, I knew I could help him, right? I knew that what I had in my brain would be useful. And, you know, we've worked together now for a year and a bit. I've loved on him. But what I love is that if I needed to call Jason right now, Jason would answer the phone to me. He would answer, he would hold the space and he would listen because even though I never expected that from him, he loves what I've done with and for him that he wants to give back to me. You know, it's like I never entered into that friendship with transactionality in mind. It was always, I can see this person, he's wonderful, and I want to help him.
That's
And like I
beautiful.
say, the if you can give with all of your heart and all of your openness and be able to reconcile that you might never get that back from that person. But I believe that everything you put into the world, it comes back in some way, whether it's direct, whether it's indirect.
One of my
Like
mentors
this.
says paying karmic dollars, karma dollars. You're just putting, you're getting paid in karma dollars. You're doing the right, you know, what we do when no one's looking, right? What we do just to do it. And it's karma dollars, right? And
I
it's
think a lot of
beautiful.
people do things because they want to be seen to be doing them.
Yeah.
And that makes me viscerally uncomfortable. Like, I hate when like Gen Z go up to homeless people and buy them food and video it. That is so undignified for the person receiving that help.
Oh,
And
yeah,
that
it's
is not
interesting.
something that I can't get behind it at all. I can't get behind it because it breaks my heart that you would exploit someone's most vulnerable moment for clout chasing. Don't do it. Give without the expectation of receiving.
That's beautiful. I like doing pay it forwards, you know, when you're in line and where you're actually paying it backwards, right? Like you're in line and I like pay for whatever. The next person, you know, and the people are like, wait, 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 wait. I'm like, just, it's okay. Like, they're like, I can pay. I said, I know you can pay. I'm just in a mood to do something. And it's so fun to see it ripple out. That's beautiful. Let's circle back after our break. It looks like it's time for I want to come back to you and your child. When we come back from our last break, and how people also can follow you. So we'll be right back. Again, you're listening to Your Healing Playground. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. I am Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith. I'm a change advocate. I'm all about alive, breathe, and connect, the ABCs, instead of always be comparing, right? So let's go and come right back. We will be right back with Stephanie Ward of Spicy Brain Collective.
Your Healing Playground is the space where science, spirit, and sensation dance together. Your host, Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, physician, coach, healer, and play advocate, returns weekly to remind you that healing isn't just about pills and protocols. Western medicine is just one of many healing modalities. True wellness is about energy, emotion, pleasure, and play. On this show, Dr. Tina explores the playground of your body, mind, heart, and soul. From neuroscience to sensuality, from root chakra to real talk, she'll share tools, stories, and soulful strategies to shift you out of fear and back into joy. Because if you're alive and breathing, your story is still unwritten, and you deserve to write it with love. Together, you'll learn to breathe, feel, and play your way back to wellness, because you are your best healer. This is Your Healing Playground with Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to info@womensreproduction.com. Now, back to our program.
We are back. You are listening to Your Healing Playground. I am Dr. Tina Cooper-Smith, your host. We are on the Inspired Choices Network. Once again, if you're enjoying the show, please give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Search for Your Healing Playground. I will be very grateful, and it will assist in getting word out and information out to lots of people who need it. Today, we have with us Stephanie Ward of the Spicy Brain Collective, and she is here from the other side of the world. She lives in Britain. And we talked about her healing journey and how you can use coaches and physicians. And sometimes healing comes from grandparents and children, both ends of the spectrum, as well as perhaps your friends. Sometimes healing comes and growth happens when you least expect it, when you're down and out and not doing well, and you actually find that it was a boost to change your life and help you pivot. In losing a friend meant gaining a collective and gaining many friends and really being changing the world one human at a time, many humans at a time with her collective. I'd like to ask Stephanie, as again, I talk about playing and self-care is keeping pleasure in your life, keeping joy in your life, helping you turn the lights on of your life. Because pleasure helps you know you're safe, being safe helps you have pleasure, and both of those are really critical to healing mind, body, heart, spirit. So tell me what you do to keep your lights turned on, right? To keep you living in pleasure and joy, and how do you do that with your child and how he negotiates, because he also has some quote-unquote brain issues. I don't even want to call... I just think everybody's brain is unique and,
yeah,
you know, playing with your brain to make it work for you.
Yeah. So me and my son have a very, very special relationship. You could tell Jack anything about me and he would defend me to the ends of the earth. You could tell him I had killed someone and he would be like, yeah, but mum would have done that with a good reason. before I came out here. So we love watching movies together. It's one of our favorites. And we were watching the Minecraft movie. And he said to me, he said, Mum, is Jason Momoa single? I went, I have no idea, kidda. And I don't know. He went, you should go on a date with him when you're in LA. I was like, I can't just gnash up to his house and be like, all right, son, do you want to go on a date? He went, Mum, it would be the greatest honor of his life to take you on a date. I was like,
aww.
But yeah, Jack literally is like my fiercest, just like supporter. He is incredible. So we like to do just a lot of like what we call parallel play. So I obviously get really exhausted with work and Jack gets really exhausted with school. So at the end of the day, we'll sit together and do our own things, but in the same space. Mm-hmm. So we're spending time, but we are doing the things that our brains both like, because we don't necessarily like the same things, you know. Mm-hmm. We like Lego and we'll do Lego because every autistic loves Lego. It's a rule, it's a stereotype, but it's not an inaccurate one. But we do our own things, but together.
Uh-huh.
So that each of our brains are chasing what we need to chase, filling up that cup that's been emptied all day.
So tell me what traveling. Kind of things fill you up. What kind of...
So for me, it's reading. It's playing games on my phone, just like mindless things that I can just kind of just do without thinking so that it brings my brain back to a regulated place. Mm-hmm. For Jack, it's Roblox. He loves playing Roblox. And he's got this one game where it's like spot an imposter. And you have to like choose all the little things. And we might do that together because I quite like that one as well.
Uh-huh.
It's very easy. It's designed for like, you know, sort of 8 to 10-year-olds. So I don't need to have my big girl brain on to do it.
Uh-huh.
But yeah,
so
we both like
games.
Traveling. Yeah, we both like going out and about. We might go for dinner. He loves sushi. So uh-huh. He loves to go and just try and see how many plates of sushi he can eat in one sitting.
That's strange expensive.
Yeah. When we went for his birthday, I think I spent £175 on sushi.
Whoa. How big? How old is he?
He's 13. He's almost as tall as me.
Yeah.
Yeah. This this kid piggybacked me around the garden last week. He is very strong. He's a big boy. So like while I've been here, he's been at his dad's in Yorkshire in England, and his dad took him to Iceland. So like I would love to do more travel things with him. It just doesn't always line up, but at least he's got the support of his dad, who knows what he likes, and he got to go and see the Northern Lights in real life
Wow.
in Iceland, which was very exciting for him. It's one of his bucket list things. I would love to bring him out here because I think he would love California. So that's something important to do next year. But for us, a lot of it is just there's not always a lot of conversation because we both just find at the end of a day, talking is a lot. So we just do things that don't require us to have to talk to so that we can connect on a more spiritual and intangible way rather
I
than
love it.
having to sit and talk because talking is just exhausting sometimes, right?
Yes. And so I just want to, we're getting towards the end, and I love that you're checking in with yourself and your son about what refills your cup at the end of the day. And all of us need to remember we're energy machines, and life, stress, work drains our cup. And we have to take responsibility to refill our cup, knowing what fills us up, being in community, having support, changing our mindset. Perhaps for me, it's listening to music, it's breath work, really good food that is nutritious, that feeds our bodies. All of these things are things that literally put energy back into our physicality. And so I invite people to play with what turns you on, what lights you up, and ideally it's not just a distraction. It's literally a reset button. It's that control all delete. And you can do it in the middle of the day. You could take a break. You could do it at night. You could do it in the morning to make sure your body knows you're safe to have a great day. And so my friend Stephanie Ward is a virtual assistant. She works for businesses. We all know now it's a global economy. So just because she's visiting LA, they can do lots of work for you in Britain on the other side. And they do speak our language, even though it doesn't always sound like it. And she has a spicy brain collective that maybe if you're up at 1 in the morning California time, you might want to join. I don't know. I might have to do that one day. But I usually go to bed way earlier.
If we have enough of you, I'll put an extra one. If we have enough people on the West Coast want it, I will put an extra one on just for you guys because I love my California friends that much.
That would
I
be,
would
you
give
should
that
try
extra to
it
you
just for
guys.
fun. So, Spicy Brain Collective, Stephanie Ward, she healed from physical disability, which leads to just difficulty getting through life. When you're in pain, I'm telling you, my son has been in pain for 7 years. So hard to get up in the morning and be productive. And so, I want to celebrate that mind, body, heart, spirit, you never gave up. You are a survivor child. And more than that, you're thriving. And if Stephanie can do it with a challenging child, a single mom, everybody has the ability to live their best life, to play in this one life that we have right now. Now I believe we come back again, but we are in this body once. So celebrate it, play, heal, trust your intuition, trust the healers that might be outside the box. Trust that sometimes you're doing heavy lifting and you don't realize what's on the other side when you fly as a butterfly after being a caterpillar, inching along. It can happen to all of us. So celebrate yourself, my friends. Remember, you can heal, heal on the playground, have safety so you can play to the edges. We all need to play in this beautiful life. And remember that a disability can be a superability. It can be a superpower. And don't listen to others denigrating you, saying your brain is different, your body is different. I joke that zebras would have lots of plastic surgeons wanting different stripes. Celebrate your stripes. They make you who you are, and you are meant to be on this planet, or you wouldn't be here. So celebrate you, my friends. Celebrate your friends. Support your friends. And help heal the world, one human at a time. Have a great day.
If you felt something move today, a molecule, a mindset, or your mood, that's healing. Your body listens to your stories, your thoughts, your breath. So speak to yourself with kindness, play with curiosity, and let your nervous system know it's safe to rest. Dr. Tina returns Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, 8 Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Remember, pleasure is a practice. And play is your medicine.